Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go! Set!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. Coming up in about 25 minutes, the College Football Corner. Dennis Dodd going to join us from CBS Sports. Keep getting ready for Georgia and Notre Dame on Saturday night in Athens. We will be in Athens tomorrow.
We will.
From 10 to 2, Grindhouse Killer Burgers. By the way, the burger I was talking about, Dixie style.
Oh, the Dixie style.
God, it's good.
But I have the Texas one is the one with
cowboy
the
style.
Cowboy style with the onion ring on top. Because yeah. I take the onion ring off.
Apache style, also very good.
And I know I was going to do the lettuce wrap thing like I did last time. Went up there. No, give me some bun.
There you go. Yeah. It's game time
it's
now.
It's game time, baby.
This is Notre Dame, Randy.
I need some weight.
You can eat a lettuce wrap when it's Arkansas State,
dude.
Okay?
I got to put my big boy pants on, so I got to get.
You got to get cowboy style with a bun for
with
Notre
a
Dame.
Bun.
And just, maybe some fries on the side.
Oh, I'm getting some french fries.
There you go.
And I'm talking about regular. Them sweet potato fries were banging, though.
Maybe one of their.
Woo, they were banging.
Maybe one of their big boy milkshakes.
I ain't putting that dairy on me because I'm going to put some liquor on that stomach and that dairy and liquor don't go together.
Those milkshakes are delicious.
They're
anyway,
great.
Whatever. We'll be at Grindhouse Killer Burgers tomorrow from 10 to 2. I know you guys are going to be out there on Saturday as well for what's going to be a huge weekend in Athens. The Wendy Zone coming up at 11:40. Also, but as we always do to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. Let's start here with Matt Ryan.
You know, for sure, we're close. I mean, when you watch the film from the other night, even on the run plays that we were productive, we're, you know, very close to getting those to come out the back end. And we got to keep working at it. If you can create explosives in the run game, it creates a problem for a defense. So we've got our work cut out for us. It's a good defense we're going against this week, particularly against the run. But it comes down to us executing the way that we're capable of.
Matt Ryan there yesterday up at Flowery Branch talking about just wanting to get better in the run game and be more explosive. The biggest play they had wasn't even really a run. It was a little shovel pass there to Devontae, and he took it 25 yards, and it was great.
It looked like himself. Like Dave Archer said yesterday, he did look like the old Devontae as explosive and everything. You just want to see if they can get it done, man, and get this run game going. I mean, is it vital to their success? Did they get the run game
when
going?
Ito had a 28-yarder as well in the game.
Yeah.
To me, it's very important.
You got to have some kind of threat of it. You just cannot let defense just sit back and dictate that, okay, we're not going to let them run the football. I mean, you can run the football against this squad. I mean, Autry, he's stout a little bit against run. But, you know, when you look at Justin Houston, damn good dog. I mean, he's not the best. He can play it. But now he's being more relied on as an every down defensive end. He always was an outside linebacker, now he's down there. Can y'all get some double team and some movements on that like they do against Pack and Vic? It'll be interesting to see what they try to do.
I think of last year's Falcons offense. I mean, statistically was actually really good. They're, what, 6 in the NFL in total offense. They had a bunch of games where it was shootouts and they scored all kinds of points. Matt Ryan threw for almost 5,000 yards. He had MVP-type numbers. Julio had a huge year. But you never looked at that offense and thought to yourself, all right, this offense is going to win us a game today.
Yeah.
Because there was no threat of a run whatsoever. There was no balance at all. Tevin Coleman had his shot as a number one and couldn't do it. Devontae was hurt for the entire year. The offensive line wasn't any good. So, yeah, they were the number 6 offense in the NFL last year. But you can't honestly sit here and tell me that anybody looked at that Falcons offense and didn't know what they were going to do or saw them on a given week and feared them. Because if you're a one-dimensional offense, even if you're really successful at that one dimension – then you're going to be more easy to stop. So, yeah, no, Randy, I think it's vital, even if, and I agree with you. I know Dirk Cutter said earlier in the week that he wants this to be a run-first offense.
Nah, bro.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds good.
That's fine to say.
Sounds good.
I think the offense is always going to really go with what Matt Ryan does with his arm.
Right.
But that isn't going to work unless you're at least able to establish a run a little bit. The other part of that is, I mean, I still want to know if Devontae is going to be Devontae. Like,
right.
I'm worried. And I know Dave Archer told us yesterday, don't be, people are overreacting, and it's only been 2 games and all that stuff. It's true, but those are the two games that we have, yeah, like, to look
but
at.
But the thing with the overreaction part, and I agree with you, I haven't overreacted to him. I just say he don't look like himself. That's not an overreaction. He doesn't.
That's just an honest assessment of what you've seen.
Now, I've seen some overreaction, and most of it has to do with his salary. He earned that contract.
Oh.
Okay, he earned it. Now, has he lived up to his guy? No, he's been hurt. But at the same time, you know, they need that dynamic, that juice. And I keep saying that, using that word. They need that juice that he brings. I mean, it's just a much more fun, looser team when he's playing the way he plays. When he's out there, you know, shaking people and running fast and lowering his shoulder and doing those things, that juices up the offense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, like, I'm hopeful that he's going to be able to be near what we want him to be. Like, yeah. You can't do anything about his money. What's the point of even getting mad about that? They gave him the contract because he earned it, and he's been hurt since then. All right, so what are you going to do? Tweet angrily about it, and they're going to undo it, and you're going to have a time machine and go back and not do it? Like, I don't understand what the point of that is. Like, the only thing you can really do is hope that as the season goes on, he plays his way back into shape. And there have been glimpses of positivity, but it's also been times where you look at it and say, oof, I don't know. And I also think if you just take a big step back from it and think about it logically, I think it's fair to worry about what Devontae is going to look like. You're talking about a guy who's not nearly as fresh as he was when he was the guy that brought that juice to the offense. He missed all of last season with a groin injury, which is a hard thing for a guy who's made his entire career on being that explosive cut type runner. And he weighs more. Like, I don't know. Maybe that was a good move to try to protect him throughout the season, or maybe that's going to make him slower. I don't know.
Let's wait and see. Let's see what they do this weekend. But yeah, they got to figure out a way to get some juice out of that run game. And again, we'll break this down all the way, especially tomorrow. We're going to do a lot today, but especially tomorrow with our keys and everything. But yeah, Devontae, got to get him going.
There was an article written on Yahoo Sports today about Caleb McGarry. It was actually written by that guy who was standing in front of everybody so nobody could talk to Caleb McGarry last Wednesday.
He was hogging him.
But it was a great article. Uh-huh. So now it was worth it that nobody got to talk to Caleb McGarry last Wednesday, because the dude actually wrote a really good article about Caleb McGarry. I'll tweet it out at the end of the segment. I would highly recommend reading it. Just furthers the intrigue in the guy that we got playing right tackle. He's just an interesting character, man.
He is just very, very
interesting. He's just a weirdo. Yeah. I like him.
He is. But the thing about it is that you love that young, aw shucks type guy. You know, and I always tell players a lot of times, especially when I was older, keep that as long as you can. You know what I'm saying? Keep it as long as you can. I mean, because it's when you're out there just playing, it's always a phrase you don't know no better. You just gotta go out there and just play hard all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's stay like that as long as you can.
It isn't any less cool to be an NFL football player your eighth year in the league than it was your first year in the league. It's still basically the coolest thing, or whatever it is, whatever your dream is. If you get there, I mean, I hate when people get jaded by the thing that they really wanted to do.
Yeah.
It's what you've always wanted to do. And now you're complaining about that? Come on. Tough it up. Suck it up. I don't think we're going to have to worry about that with Caleb McGarry. He also looks like he's pretty healthy, too. Yeah. I'll tweet out that article at the end of the segment. Now, other stories from around the league. We got a football game tonight, Randy.
I'm so excited.
Me, too.
Yes.
Jacksonville versus Tennessee, man.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew versus Marcus Mariota.
So excited.
Yeah.
Because you get a chance to see a couple of opponents that the Falcons will be playing against.
That's
down
great
the road
point.
A little bit. So you get to see a little bit of what they got going on. And, I mean, it's football. I mean, I know people, you know, and I usually stay off Twitter I usually shut down my Twitter around 9 o'clock, and most time on Thursday nights I don't, you know, because I get tired of people complaining. They're not changing it, so stop damn complaining. All right, they're not going to change it, so stop complaining. Save your thumbs.
You know what? Save your thumbs, man.
Save your thumbs.
Save the thumbs. Don't tweet
you know
dumb
what
stuff.
I mean,
what's the point of wasting your thumb energy on something that's not going to change? You know what's more likely? It's more likely that the NFL will add games on Saturdays or Tuesdays than they would get rid of Thursdays.
Yeah.
It is. It's more likely that they'll add another day of the week than to take away Thursday Night Football. Because you know why? Ka-ching.
Thank you.
Because they're making money.
They ain't changing
and
it.
And you're watching it. You make a great point, though.
Care about the player safety, okay?
Of
they
course
don't.
Not. No,
all right?
They're going to add 18 games. Yeah. Like, come on. They don't care about any player safety. This is the final game the Titans play before they play the Falcons in Week 4. So you can watch this game tonight and get an idea of what the Falcons Week 4 opponent is going to look like. And like again, at home against the Tennessee Titans is a game the Falcons are going to need to win in Week 4. But you can look at that game tonight and kind of see who they are. The other interesting story about this game, and we learned a new rule, or at least I learned a new rule, about the NFL CBA is that Jalen Ramsey, who may get traded by the Jacksonville Jaguars, is going to play tonight.
Yes.
I don't know if that's a good idea, honestly.
If you're thinking about trading him, no.
I wouldn't play him.
Yeah.
If I'm the Jags, I'm not letting him get on the field.
Hell no.
Because if he gets hurt, you know who's trading for him?
Nobody.
And then you're up a creek. If they were to trade him, though, say tomorrow,
right.
He can't play on Sunday.
No.
You're not allowed to play for two different football teams in one NFL week.
No.
It'd be cool if you could.
It would be pretty cool, but you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
What you could do is if, say, the Jaguars had played on Monday Night Football, and then he played, and then they traded him Tuesday, he could play on Thursday Night Football because it's a different week.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be tough to play on Monday and then play on Thursday, but you could. So you could play two games in a four-day stretch by the rules, but you can't play Thursday and then play on Sunday.
Yeah, sucks.
So now we know that.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to move him.
Really?
Why would you put him on the field tonight if you're going to move him?
Yeah, I guess you're going to try to.
But again,
that bridge.
It's been a strange year.
How did you interpret that interaction between him and Doug Marrone on the sidelines?
I just looked at it as a spoiled player, you know, because they say he was upset because he wants to play man to man. They changed it up to zone, whatever, whatever. You know, the thing about it is you can't put your hands on the head coach, you know, and he pushed away from him. And some people say he jerked right now. That wasn't a jerk. That was like a half shove. But at the same time, you can't do that on the sideline with coaches. Now, I've been in there where I've been guilty of yelling and in arguing and MFing coaches and all that. I've done that before. When you put your hands on, it's just hard to see if that mend that fence right there, because I know a lot of people are saying, well, somebody got to go, you know, and Jalen might be the best player on your football team. Doug Marrone is a guy who looks like he might be out the door soon. So how do you do that? Now, it will leave a bad message if you chose a player over the coach. You know what I'm saying? In that instance, especially if he's not a quarterback.
I'm trying to just find out. Let me check quickly what the over-under is in this football game tonight. Because we already know what the final score is going to be. It's 40. Take the under. The final score of this game is going to be 13-10.
Probably.
Like every game the Titans play in, the final score is 13-10. And every Thursday night football game seems like the final score is. Like that's what the score is. Or 13-9.
Yep, probably.
That's the only thing I'm not sure of, if it's going to be 13-9 or 13-10.
Yeah.
What I know is the winning team tonight is going to score 13 points. Yeah, the over-under is 39. Bet the under. Although then you're betting on nothing to happen. I always hate betting the under.
Yeah, because, I mean, you want it to be a good game. I think we all want it to be a good game.
I don't really care.
Who knows?
I don't care if it's a good game or not. I'm going to watch. It's NFL football. Gardner Minshew's going to have a mustache, and it's going to be on TV. All right. Other NFL news. Drew Brees had surgery on his thumb yesterday. Sean Payton not committing to Teddy Bridgewater as the one, though.
I don't understand.
Apparently, they're going to use two quarterbacks.
But here's the thing. Well, we knew that Hill was going to play.
Yeah, but
we knew he was going to play. But here's my thing. Is he thinking he's tricking Dallas? I don't want to let nobody know who my quarterback is, man. Come on, man. Come on. Also, Cam Newton is not practicing today. So there's a good chance that he won't play Sunday.
How worried are you about Cam Newton?
I ain't got to worry about him.
Okay, you know what I mean.
Oh, I'm worried about him.
I know you don't really care one way or the other.
Yeah,
but like,
no, I'm worried about him.
If you're a diehard Carolina Panthers fan, how are you feeling right now about Cam Newton?
I'm worried about him. I really am, because here's the thing. Running quarterbacks don't last long in this league. They don't. It's big. And I think Cam is the most physically imposing athletic quarterback that's ever been. You know, it's
sure.
I think that's what he is. But at the same time, running quarterbacks don't last long, man. And you got to adjust your style. That's why I worry about Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's playing well from the pocket, but a lot of times, especially when you're still young, when stuff breaks down, you go back to what you know.
Right.
You know, and you don't want to see him take all those licks. Michael Vick had to learn.
Because yeah.
Mike Vick was, you know, I forgot what game that was when Vick got hit in the chest and he grabbed his head. Like, damn, was that a, what the hell happened to Mike?
Right.
But Mike had to adjust. He still ran, but he didn't run as much. That's the thing with Cam. They're trying to make Cam run less, but sometimes Cam, you know, he reverts back to what he knows.
Well, and the hard part, too, is it seems like Cam's got a bum shoulder as well.
Bum shoulder,
Cam
bum
was
foot.
Never the most accurate passer in the world in the first place, and then to have all these injuries piled on top of it makes it a lot harder. Back to the New Orleans thing. Yeah, what are they doing? Like, I guess it's gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Like, I have a hard time believing that Taysom Hill is going to be used a whole lot differently than he's been used so far.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. I think
maybe they will.
I think he's 3 of 7, 45 yards, and an interception somewhere in that area.
Yeah, not good numbers.
If they take the ball out of Drew Brees' hands for Hill, you don't think they're going to do it for Teddy? Both of them going to play. We already know that. My thing is, it's always whenever coaches do this type of thing, when do you do that, especially if your quarterback is in a rhythm? Like if Teddy's just grooving and everything up there in Seattle on Sunday, do you, like, try to flip the script and be like, okay, Let's go with Hill. Let's see what he can do as far as a zone read or whatever. Why don't you just let your quarterback just keep dealing? You know, I never understood the dynamic of that.
The Saints have a pretty tough schedule ahead of them, especially given the fact that Drew Brees is out. Going up to Seattle and playing ever is difficult. Seattle's a pretty good team this year so far. They're 2-0, two close wins, but they're 2-0. Going up there and playing without your quarterback is going to be tough. Then they got the Cowboys in Week 4, and they got the Bucks and the Jaguars. Yeah. Then they got the Bears as well. So as we look at this slate of games where Drew Brees is not going to be available to the Saints, they got games that were going to be hard to win anyway.
With him.
Now they got no Drew Brees, and they're going on the road for some of these tough matchups. This is what we were talking about earlier in the week, man. What you never root for injuries or anybody like that, but the way that the NFC South is shaping out right now, things look very nice for the Falcons, given some of the injuries that these other teams are dealing with. Cowboys got rid of Taco Charlton, man.
So he was.
They cut him. He was a first-round draft pick 2 years ago.
Man, you know what it is that Rob Marinelli might be the most demanding coach in football, defensive coach in football. Like, he pumps fear. Guys run through a wall for him. And he probably got on Taco a lot. Taco's soft-hearted. You can't be yelling at me like that. Yeah, whatever.
He's
like
a soft taco. He's a soft taco. It.
Great job, Wendy.
Needed to be more of a hard shell taco.
Yeah.
Yeah. I prefer soft tacos.
Whatever, me too. Hey, there's a Falcons watch party. It's at Penn and Proper, located off Grant Street near Grant Park. It's this Sunday starting at noon. Falcons prizes on site with cheerleaders, a Falcons alum, and much, 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 much more.
That sounds like a good time.
That sounds cool. I like Grant Street.
I love the Grant Park neighborhood.
It's a cool spot.
It's a wonderful place to hang out. Go to the Falcons watch party. Coming up next, we'll get to a college football corner. Dennis Dodd going to join us from CBS Sports. Talk some more about this Georgia-Notre Dame matchup coming up on Saturday night and find out if Dennis Dodd's kind of feeling the same way the rest of us are. Georgia's got a chance to really, really run away with this thing against Notre Dame. We'll talk to Dennis Dodd next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Man.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. And
that sound right there.
Can we just fast forward 48 hours? Can we just do that?
Because when they play this song, you know, it's on.
It's on. It's time to go. Man, I'm ready. Yeah. We're going to be out in Athens tomorrow, broadcasting live from 10 to 2 at Grindhouse Killer Burgers. Come by and say hello. I know we're going to be out there all day Saturday as well as we continue to get ready for Georgia and Notre Dame, 8 o'clock in Athens. Can't wait. Again, I wish I could just fast forward, but we can't. The next best thing, though, let's talk some college football with CBS national writer for CBSSports.com, Dennis Dodd. Dennis, how are you this Thursday?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Doing good.
Doing great.
Just doing good.
Getting ready, getting pumped up for what's going to be a great college football Saturday, of course, here in the state of Georgia on Saturday night. What do you expect to see at Sanford Stadium between the Georgia Bulldogs and Notre Dame on Saturday?
I expect a double-digit win by Georgia. You know, in one sense, just dismiss the first three games. They were hiding much of the playbook. It's a perfect lead-up to a game like this because usually these kind of games are played first or second. Now you've got a lot of film. You know what George is going to try to do. I just said they've hidden a lot of the play that they have. But Notre Dame, I think we saw in the playoff game against Clemson, they're a top 10 team. They're worthy, but they've got a ways to go before they get to that next level. They were boat raced in the Cotton Bowl in that playoff game. And team speed remains an issue. J.R. Reed, I talked to him this week, compared Ian Book to Johnny Manziel. I went, whoa, 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 big fella. Ian Book's a fine quarterback. He ain't no Johnny Manziel. I think the way it's going to go, I think Kirby Smart's going to try to pound the ball with their running backs at the end of the script and Samir White and some others, and just let the heat and the defense and the toll will take its vengeance against Notre Dame at night in that place. It's going to be hard. Georgia's a better team. I think they do a double-digit win.
And with that being said, Dennis, because, I mean, a lot of people, everybody seems like they're leaning towards Georgia in this game, rightfully so.
Yeah.
But when you look at if Notre Dame does have a shot, would it be just because Georgia just let them hang around and something happens crazy in the fourth quarter?
I think Georgia has to be an active participant in any Notre Dame upset. In other words, Georgia's going to have to give them the ball.
Right.
It's not to say they can't. They're going to have to get after Jake Fromm. Boy, they kept him under wraps. He only threw 11 times against Murray State. I think only 50-something times in three games. So they're going to have to get after him. And they're going to have to prove right off the bat that they can stop the run. That will force Georgia into some things, I guess, they don't want to do. You know, obviously, those receivers are a factor. George Pickens has got some highlight catches, but the top three receivers in terms of catches for Georgia hadn't caught a pass at Georgia coming into this season. Now, you know, they've had all of camp and the first three games of the season since the Holloman suspension and kicked off the team, and that's just the way it's going to be. But if there is a weak spot for Georgia, it's those receivers.
Dennis Dodd joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy from CBSSports.com. Getting ready for a big weekend in college football. Let's say that the game goes the way that we all kind of think it's going to go on Saturday night for Georgia. Dennis, who do you think is most likely to be the individual Georgia player that comes out of this game getting the most national attention?
Oh, gosh. I don't think it'll be Jake Fromm because, again, I don't think he'll be a guy who's going to throw 30 times for 4 touchdowns against this defense. I think they're going to try to, as I said, going to try to run the ball. I don't know. Pick somebody on defense, JRE or one of those guys, maybe. Because Ian Book is their fire starter. If they keep him under wraps, then it's going to have to be, you know, that's going to be the way that they win or one of the ways. Mm-hmm.
Dennis, when this Notre Dame defense, they're, I know it's still early. You play against Louisville, you played against New Mexico State, but they're one of the top passing defense, against the pass in the nation right now. Is that because of corners or that's just because of the teams that they're playing?
Again, just like Georgia, we don't know much about them,
right,
at least going into this game because of the schedule. Louisville's terrible. At least they were terrible against Notre Dame. New Mexico is beyond terrible. I really don't, at this point, try not to see on statistics in these type of games.
Right.
You just have to look at the talent. And Notre Dame has lost a lot of its defensive line. They lost 2 All-America linemen, Nelson and McClinchy. You know, that's going to make a difference. Chase Claypool, that may be the best receiver on the field. In fact, I think he is by far. Mm-hmm. He's a big, rangy, go-to guy who's going to play in the NFL, and I suspect that they're going to have him have a nice game. A big X factor for Notre Dame, Jafar Armstrong, their sophomore running back, who they thought one day would be the leading rusher, is out with an injury, so that's going to be a problem.
Do you think that the perception of Notre Dame is fair? And what I mean by that is the way that the playoff game went last year and some of the other big games they've played in over the last decade or so haven't gone their way, and they haven't gone their way in a big way. I think maybe it also has something to do with the way that people just generally feel about Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But do you think that the way that the narrative surrounding Notre Dame is a fair narrative?
I give them all kinds of credit. I mean, Brian Kelly now has gone from a guy who's, you know, kind of a red ass and yells at the players on the sidelines to kind of an elder statesman. It looks like he's going to finish his career there if he doesn't go to the NFL, because that's the only place he'd probably be for it. And at that time, at the end of his career contract, he'd be the longest-serving Notre Dame coach next to Newt Rockne. And when you, in Notre Dame, as an independent, you go to a national championship berth twice in 7 years, that's saying something. And not, like I said, a top 10 team. Going along with these last 2 seasons, they proved they're a top 10 team. The problem is, again, when you get to a certain level, and look, this is everybody. This is Georgia playing Clemson. This is Georgia playing Alabama, maybe, because they've separated themselves so much from everybody else. You get to that level, and Notre Dame just doesn't have the team speed. They don't have the depth. They're just not as good as these teams. Now, you know, going to Georgia at night, that's going to be a problem to begin with. I give Brian Kelly and Notre Dame all kinds of credit right now. They're recruiting nationally to an independent. You know, they have nothing to play for except that playoff berth. They're getting good players.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dennis, the other big game in the SEC is Auburn going down to take on Texas A&M. Auburn might have the biggest win so far this year. You can put LSU in there also. But talk about the fact that Auburn, you know, they're playing pretty well. I think a lot of people didn't know what to expect from Gus Malzahn and the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, we know what they're at offensively. Gus is completely comfortable calling plays again, and it's a power run offense. That's what it is. With Boogie Whitlow and Cam Martin and others, because Bo Nix, he had a nice game against Kent last week, but he's the most inaccurate starting quarterback in the SEC. It's 52.4%. And I guess you're going to have to expect that from a freshman. But they're going to have to game plan around that until further notice. And you're not going to go into Texas A&M and start swinging it around on those guys as a freshman. You're just not. They win against Oregon. I'm trying to figure out the angle is here. I mean, what, the winner emerges as the third-place team in the West? I don't know. I mean, I look at A&M's schedule, and it looks like 8-4 again. Auburn has something going for them. If they win this, this is big time. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see either of those teams better than LSU or Alabama.
Hey, Dennis, we appreciate the time, as always. I hope you have a great time on Saturday. A lot of good college football games coming up this weekend.
Thanks a lot, Dennis.
Yep, it'll be great. Thanks.
Take care.
Dennis Dodd there from CBS Sports. Again, you can follow him at Dennis Dodd CBS on Twitter. And he wrote a pretty interesting article earlier this week about Willie Taggart and the issues that he's facing and some of, I guess, the explanations that he's given for the issues that he's facing at Florida State, which haven't gone over very well.
It's not like a bunch of excuses.
Yeah, it's a lot of excuses. Yeah. And just basically how close it actually is to Willie Taggart's time being done down there. I was a little bit interested and maybe even a little bit disappointed in Dennis's answer about who he thinks could be the biggest individual national name coming out of this game for Georgia. Because he didn't really give us one. He said it's not going to be Jake Fromm and it might be someone from the defense. I think it's going to be DeAndre Swift, man. I mean, I think on Sunday morning when people are talking about what happened on Saturday in college football, I think DeAndre Swift is going to be mentioned for the first time this season since the odds came out in the summer in the Heisman Trophy conversation.
He's a big-time player. He's a big-time player. And the name that Dennis, you know, he gave was Claypool, the receiver for Notre Dame. He's a problem.
Yeah.
He's a problem. He's about 6'5", 220.
He's a good player.
A big guy.
Canadian.
And,
I know you,
A brother from Canada.
Just letting you know, he's Canadian.
Brother from Canada.
He is.
Yeah, you don't trust him. But one thing, but this dude can ball. He can, and he could be an issue, especially if you're without, I mean, Tyson Campbell's a big corner. Now, how do you play it? I don't know. I'm just looking forward to seeing this front seven in this game, how they get after the quarterback. 12 sacks already so far this year, had 24 all of last year. So they're on a great pace right now. That was always been my thing with the biggest Achilles heel for the Dogs, being able to put the quarterback on the ground. But I think Swifty is going to put on a show. And I think Fromm's going to be efficient like he always is. And I think George Pickens is going to have a big, big day.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I think that there are individuals that – because people know who Jake Fromm is.
Yes.
All right? If you know anything about college football, everybody knows the name Jake Fromm. I think it's that way with DeAndre Swift as well. Not to the level of Jake Fromm, but as well.
He might not be the best running back in the country. He's the most explosive.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the most explosive runner in the country.
And if you're the most explosive runner in the country playing behind the best offensive line in the country, well, you might look like the best running back in the country on a given Saturday, and I think he's probably going to look like that on Saturday night.
Let's do work.
That was the College Football Corner. Thanks again to Dennis Dodd for joining us from CBSSports.com. Check out his work over there. It's always great. We'll come back and get to the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams joins us in studio. Coming up next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
They discussed it out, Andy.
What happened, Andy?
That is nasty.
John Fricke left his nicotine gum over here chewed up again.
Is it in a wrapper?
Yeah, I mean, it's wrapped back up in the thing it comes in, but it's still chewed up gum, like sitting there.
I know, that is gross.
It's nasty.
And you put your hand on it accidentally?
I did not. I just saw it there and I flipped it away with my pen. I understand.
You show that chewed up
I understand
gum.
That I might not be in the prime position to be criticizing other people's ways of that sort of thing.
No, that's just nasty.
But that's gross.
That's nasty.
It's gross. I tend to keep my own gross personal habits in my home and to myself. All right? Wendy Adams is now with us for the Wendy Zone. Hi, Wendy.
Sweet transition.
Good intro, huh?
It's an amazing intro. Last week I told you about the adult industry that wanted the naming rights to the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Heat's arena. Well,
Randy's buddies.
Yeah.
They're my buddies.
Yeah, Randy's best friend.
Randy's pals.
They're my buddies.
Randy's bros.
Well, there it is. Well, the adult entertainment industry must really want to be a part of sports in some way, and now it's doing it with Gardner Minshew, who is now the Jacksonville Jaguars starting quarterback after Nick Foles was injured in week one. He broke his clavicle. There's an adult entertainment website. They announced on Wednesday that it's offering Minshew an endorsement deal worth up to $1 million if the rookie is willing to host a weekly online exercise class. So the idea sort of came from Mike Garofalo's tweet on Sunday. I don't know if you guys have seen the tweet, but this is what Mike Garofalo tweeted out on Sunday about Gardner Minshew. He said, Jag's source told to me the other day, quote, who even wears jock straps, let alone stretch and just that? It's awesome. Point is, they love the guy, and the fact that he's his own person and doesn't get flustered, that's part of the why they think he'll be okay. And apparently Gardner Minshew stretches in the pregame in the locker room in nothing but a jock strap. So now this adult entertainment website wants to offer him $1 million to do the weekly exercise program in probably just that.
Let me tell you something, man. That's a nasty blank right
Yeah, that's pretty gross. Right. I mean,
as a teammate, Randy, if you were in the locker room and watching.
I'm going to have a real issue with that.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, you can put some damn drawers on?
Go.
All right. Dude.
Go find yourself a little back room or something like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, no. Hey, you got drawers on? Yeah.
The answer is no.
No.
If you're Gardner Minshew,
there's certain
locker room etiquettes that you do. Now, some guys are different. Others, like, you know what? We don't play naked. You know what I'm saying? You know, eyes. You know, when in the shower, you look me in my eyes. You know, there's certain things that they go in the locker room. Walk around stretching in the jock strap is definitely on top of that right there, bro. Oh, and the courtesy flush also. But, yeah, you don't do that.
What'd you say about eye contact in the shower?
Oh, when you shower?
Yeah.
Because most locker room showers, there are no curtains. It's just a whole bunch of shower heads.
Yeah, just a big open space.
Yeah. Eye contact, Pippin. What?
I get it. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I got
There's no doors on the showers. You don't have separate stalls.
That's like a big old.
Yeah, it's a big room.
I have not been in a football locker room.
That's how it
or
was
in a bathroom before.
In high school, too. Yeah. Like high school gym.
Yeah.
No thanks. I'm good.
Yeah. I mean,
you just rather smell for the rest of the day.
I took one gym class in high school and it was sixth period. I'm like, I'm
going. Yeah, it might be why Ramsey the man, but yeah, you don't be stretching in your jock strap. That's just nasty because it's too much access to other parts in your jock strap. You know what I'm
saying? Right, and no one wants to see that. Yeah. Now, apparently some do. And if I'm Gardner Minshew, Gardner Minshew, look, and this is a fun story. He's going to be on Thursday Night Football tonight and all that. This is going to end very quickly. Like, we're not talking about. I don't even know what we're not talking about Tom Brady here. I know he was a 6th round draft pick, and there will be some parallel. I guarantee you somebody makes that comparison tonight on the Thursday Night Football pregame show. This story is a 15 minutes of fame story.
Dude, get your money.
Get your $1 million.
We mentioned this something yesterday because it's Cam Soto, right? The site, that's them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Get that money, bro.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah.
Sign the contract. Do the exercise video, whatever.
Would
get some money.
Would you ask for more than $1 million, though?
It's $1 million every time, or $1 million?
It just said $1 million.
Just so
I'm
flat.
I'm assuming it's just for the entire series.
I'd come back with the negotiating offer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to one-up them and see how far they're willing to go. I don't know, like, personally, directly, the finances of Cam Soto and how well they're doing.
It's a pretty big thing, man.
You've seen their portfolio? They're doing pretty good?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I ain't going to lie. I peeped it one time or twice. And,
all right.
You know, I just can't pay that overage on it, man, because that first 30, I got to make sure I get it in the first 30 seconds.
Well, Randy, you have a lot of information about the adult industry.
You're 2 for 2 on the porn stories in the last week.
Because I know stuff.
Maybe. There's nothing. Like,
you have a lot of friends.
I always say, never be ashamed of your knowledge.
Yeah, I know a lot of stuff, man.
If you know something, be proud to know it.
Whatever
it is that you know, be proud to know it.
I ain't going to buy them coins, you know, that you got a coin to tip them. I ain't buying that stuff, man.
What?
It's real.
What is that? Like Bitcoin?
Yeah, something like that. But you got to buy that. Then you give them the coins, and then they take off more. And
What?
You can spend $100 on a show. Man, I'm good on that.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
They might as well just go to a peep show in real life. Quarters of time.
Quarter.
Do they still have those?
I believe they do.
Watch out now!
I don't know. I've never been to one.
That's a proud moment.
Randy, they still have real life peep shows?
I'm pretty sure they still do.
I'm sure
they do.
All right, I don't know how to transition.
I'll text Abe. Abe knows stuff. He might know if those exist or not.
He might know. I don't know how to necessarily transition, but we'll just go to the next story. So ESPN College Game Day, you know, you try to get on TV and you try to have the best poster. Well, one Iowa State fan had the best poster from Saturday, and it's doing a lot of good. So he was hoping for a little extra beer money. I don't know if you guys saw the sign. So it was, his poster said, Busch Light Supply needs replenished Venmo. And then it had his Venmo name on the sign, which is brilliant.
Yep.
So because you have a million eyeballs on you on Saturday. So not only did a sign get on TV, but the Venmo account started filling up. So within 30 minutes of his sign being shown, he had $400 in it. And then it went to $1,600. Then Carson King went to his Twitter and said he would donate all but enough for a case of Busch Light. So he was just going to keep the money for one case of Busch Light. And then he would donate the rest to the University of Iowa's Steed Family Children's Hospital. Well, now that amount is all the way up to $36,000. Venmo said they are going to match that donation and send it to the Children's Hospital as well. Plus, Busch also going to match that donation and supply him with a year's supply of beer.
Yeah, I think all told, with the Busch matching the money, the Venmo matching the money, and the money that he got, they're actually going to raise over $100,000 for the Children's Hospital.
That's so awesome.
Which is truly amazing.
That's so great. And, you know, I'll never get up there to see that. But, I mean, when they show that on TV and all them babies at the window waving,
you might go sometime.
It is unbelievable. That is such a great moment in college football.
It's become one of the cool traditions and one of the great traditions in college football in a very short period of time. And That is amazing. Yeah. I don't want to minimize the amazing
good
part
for him.
Of that. He did a great job.
You're a 24-year-old.
Some people would have just taken all the money.
Oh, absolutely. Two things I need to know. Number one, I know Randy's proud of him also because it was Busch.
Yeah.
And Randy is happy with that.
No doubt.
I heard an interview with this kid, and he referred to Busch Light in a slang way that I had never heard before.
Okay.
Before I tell you what it was, do you have any terminology that you use for Busch Lights?
No.
This is a Busch Light.
Right.
He called it a latte. He goes, yeah, man, I just wanted to get a case of lattes.
Oh, really?
Which is bro-y, but I love.
No, that's all way bro-y.
It's very bro-y, but next time I drink a Busch Light, I'm calling it a latte. I'm just doing it.
That's like long sleeves with a sweater tied around your neck.
No,
with
that's
khaki
like country
shorts tucked
club.
In.
No. Calling it a latte is like a tank top from like an old frat mixer.
Somebody just said they got peep shows in Louisville. So, yeah, they still around.
Somebody just said that?
Yeah, somebody just tweeted that.
Thank you for the information.
I've been to Louisville.
They got peep shows in Louisville.
Louisville does not have an attractive population.
No?
No.
As people now book their trips to Louisville.
Come on.
It became a hot destination.
They got peep shows in Louisville. They got peep shows in Atlanta.
I'm sure there's some somewhere around here. I ain't never been to one around here. I ain't never been one around here.
Yep.
I was curious.
Thank you, Wendy.
In the state of Georgia?
No.
The greatest audio in the world, the most important audio in the world, coming up next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.